G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 5 of Eric to the Diary Room, that you can find at erictothediaryroom.com. Eric to the Diary Room is a part of Channel Eric, which you can find at channelerk.com. Coming to you again from the mobile diary room, in other words, my car. Hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, hopefully my iTunes listing has been successful. Had a bit of trouble during the week, but then again, when you start up a new podcast, and this is the first podcast I've actually set up from scratch on Blueberry's PowerPress, well, you know, sometimes these things might happen. Anywho, just to let you know before we kick off the episode, if you're hearing this now, that means that my trial has been successful. I'm actually trialing a new piece of recording software, or it's really an application, in my mobile studio, i.e. the car. Prior to now, I was using an app called iTalk Lite, which has got a big red button. You press it to record, and then you can press it when you're finished recording, transfer it to your computer, do a bit of conversion because it records in the AIFF format, do a bit of sound boosting, maybe, put the theme music in at the start, the beginning, the end, and then you have it as an episode. I was listening to a podcast the other night, the airline pilot guy with Captain Jeff, and he was basically doing what I'm doing now in episode 39, except he was using an app called BossJock. And what BossJock basically allows me to do, you heard the theme music at the start of the episode, I did that by pressing a button. And so I pressed the button, I preloaded the theme, I got it from my iTunes, pressed the button, it played, then I pressed the microphone button, and I'm talking. And at the end of the episode, I'll stop talking, I'll press the theme button to, you know, the end theme button, which again I preloaded from my iTunes, and then I'll press the stop button, and then that hopefully will be the episode. I'll have to, of course, transfer it to my computer, but I am recording already in MP3 format, so I don't have to do any conversion. I don't know yet, because I haven't done this before, if I will need to do some amplification or something like that, but overall, it seems to be working pretty good. It works well for Captain Jeff, so I dare say that it could work well for me. Not sure if there's like an Android-y version. I got this from the iTunes store, and it's actually the most money that I've ever spent on an app. $10.49. But considering that I can use that for this show, I can also use it for my talk podcast, ErkPod. While recording here, I think the main times I'd probably use it would be in the car recording a show like I am now. Of course, I'll still have iTalk Lite just in case I need to do any interviews where I haven't got my audio recorder, the Zoom H4n, with me. So if you're hearing this, the trial has been a success and I'll keep on doing it. But if you're not hearing this, if you're hearing an alternative version of episode 5, well, obviously, Smithers needs to continue the research. Anywho, I am on my way to a gig. I am off to see some awesome rock and metal bands tonight, which is one of the things that I like to do on my music podcast, Erk FM. And all of this, of course, you can find via channelerk.com. So I've got ample opportunity to talk about a favourite type of TV show that I have, based on cop shows. You know, in the last episode, we talked about train documentaries and the like. But today I'm talking about cop shows, and hopefully I won't get pulled over by a cop while I'm actually doing it. In case anybody is wondering, for the new players at home, I've got my iPhone in my cup holder, which is in front of me. So apart from the split second at the end, which I'll do when I'm stopped, of pressing buttons, I'm totally hands-free, so it's all good. Anywho, when it comes to cop shows that I'm currently watching, I am primarily watching them through my subscription TV provider, Foxtel. When it comes to cop shows, there's a couple of various types. There's the drama type, which is things like your CSIs and all of that sort of stuff. I'm not really watching any quote-unquote cop dramas at the moment. Most of the cop shows that I'm watching or have watched previously are what you'd call the reality-based format, or what I like to call the ride-along format. Of course, many of you have probably heard of the long-running show called Cops. I think it's in the about its 21st season, something like that. And so the cameraman and the cameraman comes along with the two cops as they're, you know, driving around their city, and sometimes things happen and sometimes don't happen. Of course, you don't see them driving around for hours when nothing's happening, or you don't see them in the station doing all their paperwork. You just see the fun and exciting bits. You know, the newsworthy bits. And so, out of Cops, over the years, Cops has been parodied many times. One of my favourite parodies of Cops was the South Park episode where they made Eric Cartman a cop.
He will respect my character! You know how fast you're going right there?
That episode. But the biggest Cops parody show that I enjoy, I haven't watched any episodes lately, is Reno 911. And it's... Reno 911, get this, it was actually one of the reasons why I went to Reno, Nevada. Because I saw it on the show and everything like that. Oh yeah, it looks like a mini version of Vegas. Yeah, I'll be going up there that way. I'll drop in. But the funny thing about Reno 911 is, well, first of all, it's a comedy. So while they try and make it look slightly realistic, it's a parody of Cops. There's no question about it. Unlike Cops, they do things like actually talk to the cameraman. They call him Joe. It's like, hey, Joe, look over here. Or, you know, Joe, help, or whatever, you know. Hey, Joe, are you getting this? You know, things like that, which is rather cool. What they also do is a lot of it is actually improvised. And so what happens is a lot of the quote-unquote bad guys is actually other cast members dressed up. So there's a lot of hilarity and chewing and all of that sort of stuff. Lots of stuff which obviously wouldn't happen, you know, on a TV show like Cops. But then again, yeah, it's a parody. Another interesting thing about Cops is that... Sorry, about Reno 911. Getting my shows confused. Another thing about Reno 911, even though it says Reno in the title, and you see lots of Reno in it, and the vast majority of it is actually shot in Carson City, California, just on the Californian side of the California-Nevada border. So that's rather interesting, because they put, especially for those of you who might not necessarily know Reno, you see enough of Reno to think, oh yeah, this is, you know, Reno, Nevada, blah, 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 right down the middle of the desert. But in actual fact, it's in Carson City, California, including the police station shots. But this is the funny thing about police forces in America. There's so many of them. And there's so many different ones that you can focus on. And they all have their different ways of doing things. Their cars all are different. Their uniforms are different. Their policing styles are different. Whereas the what the Alaskans and the Hawaiians call the lower 48, mainland USA, the land area of the lower 48 is roughly the equivalent of mainland Australia. Obviously, the population's a lot bigger. Whereas in America, I don't know exactly how many police forces there are, but a lot of counties, a lot of cities have their own police departments in America, and then you've got the state troopers and all that sort of stuff. Here in Australia, we have one police force for each state or territory, and then you have the Australian Federal Police looking after the federal stuff. Whereas in America, you'd have, you know, each city or county having their own police force, the state force, and then you'd have things like the FBI and the CIA. Whereas in Australia, state, territory, the feds, and, you know, stuff like ASIO, which is our equivalent of the FBI. So there's lots of material out there in America to be seen. I actually was lucky enough to go on a ride-along with a police officer in America, in the east coast of America in 2009 when I was there. A fellow podcaster at the time, his day job was that he was a cop, and so he actually managed for me to go with on a ride-along with a real-life American police officer, and it was all done legitimate. You know, he seeked the permission of his supervisor, the patrol officer's supervisor. You know, everything was done in triplicate. You know, I had to sign a form, and this is surreal thinking about it now. I had to sign a form which basically, you know, said that I acknowledge that, you know, I'm in an operational police car. Things might happen that shouldn't happen, you know, blah, 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 don't get yourself shot sort of thing. And it felt like I was in an episode of Cops, and it was really cool. You know, we went on different incidents and noise complaints. There was times where we went around the poorer neighbourhoods of the city, sort of doing a patrol of there. And I almost got myself searched by one of the officer's colleagues who didn't know that I was actually with him, and I was looking a bit suspicious. Because after all, I'm on a ride-along, so I should be watching what's actually going on without necessarily getting too close. So, in a way, you can say that I've been in my own personal episode of Cops. Unfortunately, of course, I couldn't film it or anything like that. But, you know, I've got the memories of it, and, you know, to this day, it's hard to believe that I've actually gone on an official ride-along with a real American police officer, which is awesome to think about. But the funny thing with America is that when it comes to their law enforcement, there's so much of it on TV, and yet people will still sort of claim ignorance about various things of the law. And there's so much American on TV that I'm actually watching at the moment. Of course there's Cops, and coincidentally, because there's so much going on with other things that I'm watching, I actually don't watch Cops at the moment. You know, I have my moments where I might go, oh yeah, let's watch a bit of Cops for a while, but you know, there's other things that I'm watching. So what am I watching when it comes to American cop shows? One series that I think I've managed to watch all the episodes of, some of the shows, they come and they go, different seasons, and sometimes it's just a matter of what I do each week, or near enough to each week. Of course, I'm watching the subscription TV, the cable, and then I'll see, you know, different shows advertised, like they say, oh, coming up in August, you know, these are some of the shows that'll be on. But I also have a look at the electronic program guide about once a week and just flick through the main channels that I watch. And one of the main channels that I watch is the, what we call the CI channel, the Crime and Investigation channel. And if you're into your true crime and all that sort of stuff, it is a channel which is absolutely awesome to watch. I don't know if they have the equivalent channel in America, or if this is just an Australian thing, but we have a lot of realistic reality and documentary videos and shows from Australia, the US, the UK, Canada, and a lot more. So one series that I've just finished watching is the Police Women of ... you know, insert location here. The first one that I watched, and as I said, I just managed to come across it on the TV one day, was the Police Women of Broward County in Florida. And what they try and do, they focus on a group of female police officers within that one department. So you might have a couple of detectives, you might have a couple of patrol officers or whatever. There's a, in this particular series, there's a couple of detectives, there's a couple of patrol officers as well. And a lot of them, you know, they've got young families, you know, there's some single parents amongst them and all that sort of stuff. It almost, you know, it makes me think that you can't get on this show unless, of course, you're female. That's one of the premises of the show. And you've got a, you know, family situation, and you're quite willing to let the TV cameras come into your house. Because at some stage, inevitably, there will be a stage where the TV cameras will come into your house as they try and look at you, apart from the fact that you're a cop, you know, that you like to spend time with your kids and your husband or whatever, and, you know, you can cook and all this sort of stuff. But for me, as a cop, you know, a lot of cops probably wouldn't even want to get on TV to be recognised. You know, they might have their little, oh, guess what, I saw you on the news, you know, you're buying dinner tonight or something like that. But a lot of them, when it comes down to actually being on a show like this, they probably wouldn't want to do it. I don't know what the process is, you know, if the production company comes to the police department and say, hey, we're doing a show about female cops and, you know, can we ride along with you? And then, you know, the commander goes to the platoon and says, oh, we need some female volunteers for this show. You know, or do they say, okay, you, okay, you're going to be on TV now. You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You are on TV. I don't know, but some of the women absolutely are hilarious. And it's not just a case of, you know, always seeing them at work and all this sort of stuff. There was one scene where, you know, you wouldn't even know they were cops. One of the police women went to the beach and, you know, her friends happened to be cops, and they all just happened to be walking along the beach in Florida in bikinis, and yeah. You know, it's not necessarily a sort of thing that you'd associate with being on a cop show. So there was the Police Women of Broward County. There's a couple of series of that. I think I've pretty much watched every episode of that. That was cool. There was the Police Women of Dallas, again, which was cool. And there was a couple of female cops that they always seemed to have together. And they were absolutely hilarious together. And it's, in a way, it's not like cops in the fact that they don't necessarily, in like shows like the Police Women of ... they'll actually have the cops in some sort of studio and they'll go, hey, do you remember when we pulled this guy over? You know, he was so drunk and he was weaving all over the road. And then the other cop would go, yeah, we had a hard time pulling him over and he didn't even think he was drunk. You know, just talking to camera sort of like that. Whereas cops, you know, you wouldn't necessarily get any of that. So the police women of Dallas was cool. One that I've actually just finished watching. And this is the thing. On Foxtel, they don't necessarily say, that was the last episode of Police Women in Dallas. Now next week, we'll have the Police Women of Maricopa County. Stay tuned, because they're hot! You know, that sort of stuff. They don't necessarily announce the end of the series. It just disappears. Or you think, gee, I haven't seen the Police Women of Maricopa County for a while. What's going on? You know, it's probably because the season's ended. So there was the Police Women of Maricopa County in Arizona. And you might have heard of the Tent City Jail in Arizona where the sheriff makes the guys in the prison wear pink. Yeah, it's that county. And so they've actually, well, the last couple of episodes that I saw had actually turned into female correctional officers of Maricopa County. And you, between all the different ones, between like being on the coast in Florida and being in Texas, in Dallas, you know, is totally different to being in Arizona. And then another last one that I saw was the Police Women of Cincinnati. So it'll be interesting to see if there's going to be any more of them or they'll just get repeated at some other time. But it was so funny. I was watching the Police Women in Dallas, and I tend to do this a lot when it comes to TV shows, when you watch it for a while and then you think, okay, a particular plot point's going to come up, or you sort of identify with the officers and you say, okay, well, we're going to have a drink if you see Officer Beth cruising around a car park and she happens to catch a perp who has marijuana in his possession, or they have a warrant or something like that. So you see Officer Beth on the screen and you're waiting for her just to turn into that car park pull into the 7-Eleven or whatever, and sure enough she'll see some person doing what they shouldn't be doing and she'll search them and she'll find marijuana, or she'll run a check and then they've got, you know, warrants out, and so have a drink for Constable Beth. Yeah, Officer Beth. Constable's more of an Australian English term. It's quite funny when I sort of have these drinking games. Not that I necessarily actually physically have a drink of alcohol while I'm watching these shows, but, you know, there were some funny ones in it. Like, if two of the cops had sort of no idea what was going on, you'd have a drink. If one of the cops called one of the suspects baby doll, especially if the suspect was larger than the cop concerned, you'd have a drink, all that sort of stuff. But overall, showing the danger that police have, and not necessarily acting any differently because they're women. You know, all these women on these shows, they get in, they get the job done. They acknowledge they might not be as strong as the guys, but they're in there, you know, doing everything that they can. And then you get, inevitably it turns into prostitution stings, and then you get Detective Julie from Broward County, and she calls up and she says, can I have an arrest warrant for pervert? And she's lecturing these guys, who are going to see prostitutes, and lecturing them about, oh, you can meet a nice girl in church. Yeah, of course you can. You know, people have needs, you know. And so, you know, it's inevitable that a lot of American cop shows have at one stage or another, prostitution stings. You know, and they all have their little code words that, you know, or their little actions that they do to get the arrest teams to come in. So that's the police women of dot, dot, dot. I wonder if, as I said, I wonder if there's going to be another series. Another new American, or new to me, American series that I'm watching at the moment is called Police PAV. And Police PAV, PAV stands for Point of View. So what they're doing there is they're basically doing the cops concept, but slightly differently, where they have cameras attached to the cops, and they film that on a couple of episodes in on that. Of course, the Brits aren't to be forgotten. There's a few different shows, variations that I've been watching over in the UK, and probably the biggest couple of examples, which aren't currently running, but, you know, stay tuned and they might be coming back, is Road Wars and Police Interceptors. And you'd think that with Road Wars, it would be primarily based on pursuits and all of that sort of stuff, but it actually turns out, while it is a lot to do about pursuits, it's also a lot to do about zero tolerance and interrupting crime and, you know, breaking into drug dealers' houses and all that sort of stuff, which you wouldn't necessarily think of if you were looking at that in the TV guide. And it's funny, when you see newer episodes of Road Wars, and then you go back and they show you new ones now, they might run out of new ones, so they might go back to the start. And the main way that you can tell that they go back to the start is, well, for one, you'll see on the in-car cameras, you'll see the dates. And then you'll also hear the narrator. Now, the narrator in Road Wars, he started out quite calm, quite matter-of-factly, and quite sedate. But when it came down to the later episodes, he was animated, he was throwing in funny one-liners, puns, and all that sort of stuff. So he'd go from, yes, I'm following a Mercedes-Benz on the M5 motorway, he looks like he may be all over the road. And then in later episodes, it'd be like, wow, I'm cruising down the M5 behind this Mercedes-Benz. I better pull him over because he might be a knife-wielding numpty. Of course, you'd have to imagine that in a UK accent and not an American accent that I went into for some reason then. Knife-wielding numpty. A numpty. And so, instead of saying, oh, you know, he's travelling really fast as he goes through the town, in later episodes he'd say, oh, that motorcyclist, he was really spanking it underneath that bridge. You know? With these cop shows, it's not necessarily all seriousness. They have some lighter moments tucked in. Police Interceptors was also really cool. It was focusing on, you know, traffic policing and all of that sort of stuff, which was really cool. As well, and you sort of identify with the cops after a while, you know, oh, what's PC Emily up to today, sort of thing. Really cool. When it comes to Australia, we don't really have, surprisingly, that many tag along, ride along cop shows compared to the US and the UK. Probably the two main ones that we have at the moment are The Force, which basically they tend to tag along with either New South Wales WA or the Northern Territory, you know, following the police as they go about their business, and it's very, I almost didn't have a nose on my car. You just cut me off, asshole! See, I am paying attention. The only thing that saved me from having an accident recorded on a podcast for the second time was the fact that I saw him coming, he had his indicator on, I pulled back and I blew the horn, and that was the only reason that I still have a front nose in my car. You might be wondering about the first time I had an accident while I was podcasting. I was actually driving to the place of my employment and just driving along the road, and I'm talking. This was on my talk podcast, Oak Pod, and I'm just talking about whatever I'm talking about, what's going on, and then all of a sudden, the guy in the lane next to me, he hit my car doing. He hit my car doing 70 kilometres an hour. It was just door to door. Well, actually, it was probably his car to my mirror. So there wasn't actually any damage to the car. So I didn't even really report it as an accident. But you're actually here. If you listen to that episode, you'll actually hear me mention it. But yeah, that was close. That was too close. That was just a case of that guy being a numpty and not watching his blind spot, basically. So, as I was saying, Australians don't tend to have a lot of reality tag along TV shows. There's The Force. As I said, they tend to follow a lot of general duties. Police around and detectives. And then there's another one. I'm watching old episodes at the moment. I'm not sure if they're actually going to make new episodes, which is called Highway Patrol, where they basically just cruise around with the Highway Patrol, primarily in Victoria, and capture the action there. One of the biggest variations in policing would be New Zealand compared to America. And what used to happen on the Crime and Investigation Channel was that first they'd have a New Zealand police show called Police 10-7. And the cops in New Zealand are very laid back compared to the Americans. The majority of them are unarmed. And it's just a very laid-back way of life in New Zealand, pretty much like it is in Australia to a degree. But you'd have the Kiwi cops, and they'd pull over a car, and they'd walk up to the car, and they'd say, "Oh, hey, bro, how are you going? You know, do you know why I've stopped you? It's because you're travelling too fast." You know, they'd still get the job done, but they were, you know, just casual walk up to the car, you know, "How are you going?" blah, blah, blah. Whereas in various parts of America, you know, they treat things a lot differently over there. 99 times out of 100, the police are armed. And, you know, especially depending on what sort of traffic stop it was, they often do their traffic stops at gunpoint. And so you'd have like half an hour in New Zealand of, you know, "Hey bro, how you going? You know, do you mind stepping out of the car, have a chat?" Whereas in America, it's like, "Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Get out of the ground now!" You know, and it's a massive contrast. I'm actually watching two separate series of New Zealand cop shows at the moment. One's called Police 10-7. They tend to follow around general duties police in various parts of New Zealand. 10-7, by the way, is New Zealand police radio code for arrived on scene. So, in a way, you could call the show Police Arrived on Scene. And then the other show that I'm watching at the moment, again old episodes, is called Motorway Patrol, where they focus on how the police the motorways of Auckland. They tend not to necessarily leave the Auckland area. So in some ways the shows are similar because they both involve the New Zealand police, unlike things like New South Wales, or Australia I should say, where we have a different police force for each state. In New Zealand they have their North Island and their South Island, but because of the population size of New Zealand they basically have the one police force over the entire country. And as I mentioned, the majority of the New Zealand police force are unarmed. There has been talk over the years of arming them. They do have the capability of having armed police, pretty much what happens in the UK when it comes down to it. But I really enjoy watching those shows because they're very laid back, they're very calm, casual. But the New Zealanders, they like to go out and have a good time, and often hilarity ensues. So while I'm here talking about cop shows, I think I've pretty much covered most of the ones that I'm actually watching at the moment. But when it comes down to actual police movies, because of course sometimes this show can talk about movies, and now's a great opportunity. I think the first ever police movie that I actually saw was the Police Academy series. Now, when I saw the original Police Academy, I would have been, a child. You know, there would have been things that I was watching then that I didn't necessarily get the humour of. Or I got the humour, but it was on a different level compared to if I watch it now. The original Police Academy movie is one of my favourite movies of all time. And all of the funny characters, Jones and Tackleberry and Hightower and Hooks and my mum wonders why I travel with my headlights on. It's the second time I've been almost wiped out on this trip. Having said that, I do have my headlights on. It's the middle of the day. And this must be stupid Sydney Driver's Day. Or is that every day? So Police Academy. Of course, the series went on to 7 different movies. I didn't really hate any of them. You know, towards the end, of course, they were running a bit low on ideas, like when they went to Moscow and all that sort of stuff. Probably, of course, the favourite one would be the original. And then, apart from that, you'd probably have Assignment Miami Beach, which I think was Police Academy 5. That was pretty cool. So every now and again, you know, I'll go back and I'll watch the original Police Academy movie, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Even all these years later, of course, a lot's changed in the world since then. But yeah, still a lot of fun if I just want to go back and, have a bit of a laugh for a couple of hours. And then, of course, is my more recent favourite when it comes to cop movies, and that's the movie Super Troopers. Now, a lot of people have probably seen the Police Academy movies, but some of you probably haven't seen the movie Super Troopers. And Super Troopers is set up in the Vermont area of the US. And if I had to describe it in one word, it's all of the stuff that either police officers say amongst themselves, or things that they would like to do to the public that they would never, ever do. they'd never be able to get away with. You know, they, you know, they're too professional to play all these sort of games. But these guys in Super Troopers, there, they are state troopers, and what they're trying to do, they're trying to save their asses, basically, because the city has decided that, you know, they're not writing enough tickets. They're basically having too much fun and they're not writing tickets, and, you know, they're going to be shut down. As an example, as a classic example, they had a traffic stop where they'd pull over a car for doing something or other, and one cop had said to the other, "Do you want to play meow?" "Yeah, okay, play meow." And so what the premise of the meow game was, that during the traffic stop, the cop interrogating the motorist had to say the word meow 10 times before the end of the traffic stop. So it'll be things like, "Meow, boy, you know how fast you were driving, meow? What's so funny, meow?" And so the other guy would be, you know, the other guy would be counting. And then the guy who was getting pulled over sort of worked it out. And he says, "Did you just say meow?" And then the cop says, "Do you think I just said meow? What do you think I am, some cat? Just flying nimbly from tree to tree?" You know, that sort of stuff. And it's not a kids movie. There's a lot of funny sort of stuff that goes on. It is very much a drinking game sort of movie. Not that I've ever been stoned, but it's sort of a movie that you'd have a few laughs about. When you stand off your head, you put it on, crank it up, and have a bit of fun just watching it. And some of the antics that they get up to, some of the game, it's like, "Do you want to play repeat? Do you want to play repeat? Smells like sex in here." Yeah, Super Troopers love it. And one of the things about Super Troopers is that it was actually introduced to me by a good mate of mine. I was actually at his wedding, and of the night of the wedding, was it the wedding reception, or it might have been the no, it was the wedding reception and the drinks afterwards. I've got a moustache pretty much like I had then. And he goes, "Yeah, that's a pretty good looking Super Troopers moustache you got there, mate." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "You haven't seen the movie Super Troopers? Like, oh my God, seriously, you have to go out and get it. You know, it's the greatest cop movie ever known to man." You know, that was pretty much me summarising him. And so I went out and watched it, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is awesome, you know." So much funny stuff on there. So, of course, there's so many cop shows out there, either of the drama variety and of the fly along the wall variety, and also the movie variety as well. They're probably my favourites at the moment. So if you would like to comment about any of them, let me know. You can do what my buddy Sean A did and leave a comment on the show notes at irktothediaryroom.com. I soon will have to record an episode when I get a bit more feedback. And so I'll just actually be at a computer and to be able to read them rather than me paraphrase Sean A. So that was cool. I'm sure Sean will have some comments about some of his favourite cop shows. And also my friend Ian from Canada. He's listening as well. he loves listening to me talk and what I talk about and all that sort of stuff. So I'm sure Ian from Canada is enjoying the show as well. And I hope you're enjoying the show as well. You can actually leave me a comment on the website, on the show notes at irktothediaryroom.com. There's a voicemail widget on the website at irktothediaryroom.com. So you can just click it, record using your microphone on your computer, send me a message that way. Or indeed, you can interact with me on the social networks, on Twitter as IrkPod, or on Facebook. There's a link to both of those on the show notes at irktothediaryroom.com. So if you're listening to this, well, my trial obviously worked. Big thank you to Captain Jeff from the Airline Pilot Guy podcast, who gave me the heads up about this app, BossJock, and it's really cool. It tells me how long I've been recording for, and it allows me to push buttons and all that sort of stuff. Not that I'd necessarily be pushing a lot of buttons, mind you, but I'll be pushing buttons nonetheless. Of course, there's some things I've got to work on. For instance, if I press the button for the closing theme music at the moment, because I've got my my iPhone cable plugged into it, I can't necessarily hear the buttons that I push when I do it. I don't have a lot of buttons, so I probably don't have enough buttons to do an episode of IRK FM if I should need to, but it's a good alternative, especially if I'm in the car and, you know, it does save a bit of time, me being able to record in the car. Like, this has been a slightly longer episode because my drive's been a bit longer. We're just approaching 50 minutes now. But my usual commute's about 30 to 40 minutes anyway, so it gives me a bit of time to record an episode. And hopefully, if this has worked, it'll streamline the process a little bit, because the themes will already be there. It's already in MP3 format, and hopefully there'll be a lot less editing for me to do. So on the next episode, you'll have to tune in and hear what I'm actually talking about. Now, of course, the show is called Irk to the Diary Room, but it's not necessarily about the Australian TV series Big Brother. As I'm recording this, the housemates are actually just preparing for their first eviction, and that's probably happened by the time you're hearing this. Anywho, I'm Irk. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. More details on the show notes. And until next time, thank you for listening. I'll think of something intelligent to say at the end of this, but until then, good night, Interweb.